And I'm going to welcome back our previous speakers. And for this next portion, we're going to open up audience Q&A. So you should see a phone number on that board right there. If you text a question to that phone number, it will appear on my computer, so I'll be able to relay that to the audience, to the panel.
I'll take that one. You can take that one.
And these will be completely anonymous. So as soon as the conference is over, we're going to delete every single question, and we're going to delete every single phone number. So if you would, just please start sending those questions in now, and we would love just to get the panel speaking. So we're gonna start off the panel with a pretty practical question. And it's just for us out here, how would we identify a potential trafficker, or how could we possibly spot a potential trafficker?
So typically, you know, it's somebody who is looking for those, the vulnerable and the prey. A lot of times the traffickers will send a young girl into the schools or into the malls or the different areas that they might go to look for young women. So it may be just a pretty typical looking young lady. She may have a couple of phones. She may have a brand name bag. She may have some very stylish clothing. But I think the main thing you want to look for is, what are they saying to you? What are they trying to lure you into? You know, if something appears to be too good, it probably is. And so be thinking, you know, about that. And don't go off with strangers. Don't meet people, you know, in places because you've met them online and now you're going to go and meet them in person. Those are kinds of, you know, red flags. Pay attention to your gut. You know, I think that's God speaking. But if your gut doesn't feel good about it, don't do it. Don't go there. It's not that these are people that you can easily identify because they've got flashy cars and flashy jewelry and flashy hats and clothes. They may, but they may not. They may just look like the person next door.
I agree. Everything that was, you know, that Susan was sharing, you know, a lot of times if you are talking to a trafficker, he's going to be vague. He's going to be vague in what he does for a living. He may be a little bit flashy. He's going to talk a lot about himself, you know, and the things that he has or the things that he's going to do. He's going to be a dreamer, you know, and then he is going to promise you a lot more than, you know, you can be a model, or you can do this, or you're going to get this if you come work for me, you know. And at first, it's not that. A lot of times, it's the Romeo boyfriend pimping where they, you know, make you fall in love. But there is always something, as Susan was saying, there is going to be a little bit of a check there. Like, there's something not right. There's something missing that they're not sharing with you. And they're always going to be taking something from you. At one point, the pimp will make you feel responsible for their where they're at financially. So if they are like, oh man, I've been spending all this money on you, girl, and I need you to pay me back, you know, or he's gonna make her feel bad to where she's like, well, what can I do, you know? Maybe you can dance for me and you can do some of these other things. So now he puts the responsibility of his financial responsibility on her. And so that is a big, you know, that's a big red flag as well.
We'll have some specific questions for Daryl also. And we have a lot of great questions flowing in. So this one is a clarification question for Shannon. It says, did Shannon say there are only 24 beds in SD to house victims? And if so, what needs to be done to properly care for the victims?
I didn't talk about this. I talked about this. But I do know the bed number in the United States. So there's about 640 beds in the United States for victims of sex trafficking. There's about over 400 for those that are over 18, or no, for under 18, and only 200 for those that are over 18. We have over 300,000 victims, and that number is not even correct, you know? So we have a problem.
You had
Yes, I did say that there are 24 beds in San Diego for trafficking victims, and that includes four that are just for women with children, and then the others are for adults. There are no zero beds for juveniles who've been sex trafficked. They go back to foster homes where they're quickly picked back up, or they go into juvenile hall.
And we have a question specifically for Daryl, and they want to know, how prevalent is the culture of prostitution in the NFL?
Well, I think the biggest thing is recently is the NFL is actually one of the world's biggest events in the Super Bowl. And the Super Bowl is probably a potluck for victims and for opportunities for this to happen, as you've seen on one of our Hall of Famers last Super Bowl was arrested because he was picking up a, yeah. And in that moment, there's an analogy I have, but I don't think I want to take up the time for it. But in life, you're going to have opportunities to think you know what's good, what smells good, what looks good, what tastes good, which, like they said, is if it's probably too easy, then it's probably wrong. Anything in life you earned, you don't want to lose it. But anything that's given to you easy, you can care less if you lose it. And in the NFL, it's just like life. If you want to look for the bad things in life, you have to go seek it out. You may think that it's right in our faces. No, but I don't have an eye for that stuff. I don't want to be involved in that stuff. So I don't put myself in a position to fail. And as people, you have control over the position you most of the time, because a lot of these victims, their control is taken away. And that's the control we're trying to give them back and bring awareness to and help them get more beds so we have opportunities to do that. But in the NFL, it is prevalent because of the fact, the accessibility, and because we become targets of the clientele because we are identified as lucrative money. And the events that we have, like Super Bowl, is a big event where a lot of people are going to be in one place. They're looking to do Vegas activity. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. In those places. And so this year it's in San Francisco. So you can imagine the things that are going to be feasted or featured in the dark places of that city because of that event. But that's things that we have to do to protect those who can't protect themselves.
What is the pregnancy rate among trafficking victims?
Do you know that statistic? I don't know that statistic, but I do know that, I don't know, my first 2 years, it seemed like all my girls had kids, and this year I just happened to have very few. Do you happen to know that number?
I don't have a statistic, but I do know that the girls are very good about using protection, and the traffickers are very good about having their girls use protection because they don't want to lose that moneymaker. Which pregnancy would get in the way of. It's most typically the trafficker's baby if the girl is pregnant, and that's another way to control her.
And so just another kind of practical question, what would be the best way to approach a victim and encourage them to seek help?
Well, if you're Daryl, then you just fly into it. If you're not, it's important to be careful because they're going to protect, you know, what they see as theirs. So I've known plenty of people who will just go in and start talking to the victim and try and help them. But you could put yourself in danger's way. So really, or in harm's way. The best thing to do is to call 911 or the human trafficking hotline that Shannon and I both gave, 888-373-7888. If you see somebody that is sort of, you might imagine, is off the clock, you know, that I would say strike up a conversation just like you would with anybody else and see if there's something that you can do to help.
Yeah, you know, you have to be careful. These girls are sometimes working, so they can get in trouble if they get approached, and they're not making money for them. So they can get in trouble by the pimp when they go home. So they can get beaten. So you got to be aware of that if you think that you're going to approach someone that you believe is a victim. I do think that the first thing to do is, if you're not trained, just call the Polaris. The number, because what they will do is they will send out local people from that area. If you happen to know someone, let's say it's closer to home and it's like a family member, you know, you do want to maybe just talk to them, kind of just ask them how they're doing. I mean, we're working with a family right now, and we're asking them not to say anything that they know that she's going on, because we're following her patterns, and we're hoping to step in to strike up a conversation, because what we don't want is for the family to lose contact with her. The fact that she's in contact with the family is huge. So we're saying, family, just kind of let her come over. You know, they don't know anything. So we're kind of working, and we're more incognito when we're doing it, so that we can see if we can get her help. I had another one, and I just completely lost my mind. Slipped out. But yeah, you guys, if you have something, you just call the number. It came back in. If you're at the mall, if you're on the street, you know what? Smile at them. Ask them how they're doing. Do you know that all of my girls, no one notices them? And it is a big deal if you just actually even acknowledge that they exist and that you smile them. Because we live in a world where we're in, like, literally, we could be standing on the same stage and no one pays attention to them because that's their world and they don't pay attention to us, and the worlds are so vast. But when you cross that boundary just by smiling and saying, how are you doing, it throws them, but they never forget it, so.
And we have another one specifically for Daryl, and it's kind of a general question. It's, how can young athletes, as they gain success in sports, use their platform to help and benefit other people?
I think it's kind of what I hinted on earlier, just because of the fact that, I mean, I'm up here not because I'm educated, as they are, in the topic matter, but because of the fact that I have a heart to help others. And I do believe in the cause that they stand for, because of the fact that they're helping people that can't find a way to help themselves. And what they're talking about right now is a process to where you are becoming the solution and putting yourself in danger to help someone else, which is the utmost selfless act. And in saying that, they're limiting the danger by the process and the way in which they handle it and the way in which they go through an execution of it, of making sure the safety of the individual is first. And in doing so, for me, as a platform, I want to help others. And the way in which you would do that is you put yourself out there to show that you care in something particularly. For me, I was born in the city of Kansas City, where I go back and have a free football camp. And I just do football because that's something that obviously I know. I grew up playing a lot of baseball, but anybody gonna come to my baseball camp if I have a baseball camp? So you find a way to make yourself available. Be willing, educate yourself on the subject matter, and then be willing to be a part of the solution. And I think that's the biggest thing, is you have to be willing to be part of the solution. You can't just point a direction and be like, hey! No, you gotta find a way to be willing to be a part of the solution. Not saying you gotta jump in all the time, but find the resource, find the source that can help. So I'm not commenting on some of the things, because I don't wanna throw my opinion on facts. And I believe in truth, and I'll stick to what I know and listen and educate myself on what they know.
Thank you. I'd come to your baseball camp.
I was all state.
So earlier someone mentioned that traffickers often advertise on social media. What does that look like? It's in someone's speech, they mentioned that traffickers often advertise on social media. So what would that look like?
Well, they don't advertise, they just approach and befriend you on Instagram, Twitter. Actually, they don't, I mean, the kids use Instagram now, they don't use Facebook or Twitter. But they befriend them, and on the online gaming stuff. So you have like the Minecraft, and you've got some of the PS4 and the Xbox, and they're playing online gaming. They will approach that way. You know, so you got to know, like I gave the statistic earlier, 1 in 7 children have already been solicited online, you know, and I have, when I do a training and I talk to the kids, a good portion of the room, I would say more than 1 out of 7 have actually been solicited online. So we are in a world right now that our kids are available to pedophiles and sex traffickers and all kinds of crime because of the World Wide Web. We used to only be concerned about the little red dots in our neighborhood. Now we have access to the entire world on the internet, and you need to realize that when your kids are online.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to that is that we've seen that through the course of the years, the traffickers are getting smarter and smarter and smarter, and they often stay one step ahead of the police. And the one thing that kind of surprised me most recently was a girl who had gone on a Christian dating website and you know, met the guy at a public place, was responsible with the way she met him and everything, had dinner with him, perfect gentleman, woke up the next morning, hadn't been drugged through her drink. She had handcuffs on, and she was trafficked for 2 years after that. So just, you know, really any of these kinds of places that are, you know, online where you meet people and you don't know them can be risky.
So if you could prioritize, what are 2 or 3 things that are most needed to bring restoration to victims? So would it be money, volunteers, awareness? What would your top 2 or 3 things be?
Well, I'm going to say the most important thing is prayer, because this is a spiritual battle, and we need prayer for the people that are doing the work. We need prayer for the young women that are coming into these programs. We need prayer for the financial structure so that we can continue to do the work, and prayer for this world that's mixed up in this nasty game. What's called the life, and it's really death. I think the next most important thing is donations. I think rather that's donations in kind or financial, because it is, we figure it's about $2,000 a month per girl. And that's for everything, food, clothing, housing, education. That's the teacher's salary, that's the therapist's salary, all of that, which is actually a pretty good deal. But it's at least $2,000 per woman per month. And it's not short-term treatment, because we're dealing not only with the trafficking trauma, but also the childhood sexual abuse trauma that's almost always there. So it's a couple of years usually in treatment. So it really does add up financially. So those are the top 2, I would say.
Yes, definitely. I was talking to someone about prayer. Prayer is definitely key, because it opens doors that, you know, I mean, no man can pry open, but God can open it, you know. And so it is true. We have seen miracle after miracle. When we can't find a girl, we pray, and all of a sudden we can't explain how we found her. So, yes, prayer. And, you know, the one thing that, I'm just going to say, I'm going to be honest with you guys. You know, we do a lot of awareness. Awareness has been picking up. Everyone's talking about sex trafficking now. But what is being done? You know, we have made laws so that law enforcement will do more, but we're tying their hands because they can't go get a girl and bring her anyplace when we have no beds. They can't do anything. I mean, they, as much as the training, I mean, they're required to have training now. Well, it's not going to help them if there's no beds, or there's no place to take these girls, there's no counseling. So you know what? I don't think it's the government's the solution. I think we are. I think we're the solution. So I'm just saying, you know, my need is listen, my need's different because we don't actually have a safe house. My need is, I need more people who are willing to say, I can work with one girl. I need each church to say, I can work with one. I need people to go back to their churches to say, hey, you know what, can we work with one girl? Imagine in every church, the church would work with one girl in the nation. Do you know that the church would be the one that would annihilate the bed issue, and it would be the church making the difference? So, you know, yes, go back and talk to your churches and talk to your leadership and say, can we work with one girl? And of course, finances. Do you know that so many organizations that do want to work with girls cannot keep going because the resources aren't there? Do you also know that we cannot take federal funding if we're a Christian organization? I cannot get a federal grant or any grant because we are a discipleship program. You know, we are Christian-based, and someone even told me, you change your bylaws, we're not changing them. So I cannot even get the money that is out there to fund these girls. So yeah, the money's there, but you guys need to understand why we're struggling, you know, to even make it. So yeah, you know, I agree with what Susan's saying. You know, just, you know, go out tonight and be the one that makes a difference, and then get others to make a difference. Tell them, you know, no, we are going to stop this because sex trafficking is our problem now. And you're here because this is God's heartbeat. He believes in this. He has me and Susan sitting here. He has Daryl sitting here. He's got my husband sitting in the back. He's got Lisa doing this conference. I mean, because you know what? This is God's heartbeat. And he is wanting us to go into the darkness and set the captives free.
Amen. So we had a bunch of excellent questions from the audience, and what an awesome discussion here. Give it up one more time for our speakers. Amazing job. So as we begin to close, I want to bring your attention to our Freedom Board up front. So in a minute, we're going to bring Ziv back on stage. And the idea behind the Freedom Board is that while he's performing, we welcome anyone in the audience to just come down to the front and write the name of someone who you know in bondage. So when I say bondage, this could be someone who's a victim of human trafficking, or it could be someone who's struggling with some sort of addiction. So if you know someone who's addicted to drugs, or addicted to pornography, or addicted to alcohol, while Ziv's performing, come on down, write their name on the Freedom Board, and then we as a branch staff, we're committed to praying for each and every one of those names as they journey towards freedom. So God bless each and every one of you.
Well, thank you all guys so much for coming out. I hope you had a wonderful time. I hope you learned some new things and some real practical ways that we can get involved. If you would, join me in praying for closing out this evening. God, thank you so much, first and foremost, that you care. Just like one of the ladies was saying, Lord, this is your heartbeat. This is your care for your daughters, and we're here for them, God. We're here to raise awareness and to bring to light the hurting people. God, I'm very grateful that although we can see these situations and we can see the hurt and the pain, God, I don't want us to ever take our eyes off how good you are and how much you care for these young ladies. And even for the men involved in the trafficking, God, you care. And we're really, really grateful for that, God. So would you please use each one of us, whether it is, just like they were saying, a smile or a little conversation that we're able to have. God, with all of it, we trust you and we know that you're in control. So Lord, please use us as your body to make an impact for your kingdom, and that we would see women see freedom from this terrible, terrible industry, God. And with all of it, we truly do trust you, and we're grateful that you're in control of all of it. We pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for guys for coming out. Have a great night.